Well, good to worship with you, CTK. For those of you online, again, welcome. Craig Bollinger, lead pastor here at Christ the King. And we're in a series together called Beyond. And we're thinking about the types of things that God is calling us to move beyond, like beyond disunity or beyond the bad news that happens in our lives. How do we take steps beyond these types of things in our lives? Today, I want to focus in on another beyond, and that's beyond yourself. You know, we live in a world that's a lot about me, and sometimes it's difficult to be able to move beyond myself or my thought or my action or even me being the center of my world. Today, we get a privilege to kick off our community groups. We have been for almost 21 days. This is our last week of 21 days of prayer and fasting. So we've been living life in community, and we're calling ourselves to say there's something about community that God absolutely loves. In fact, we could literally say that God created us to be a we, not a me. Okay? God created us to be a we, not a me. So when we live in our own little context, our own little world, we're actually outside of the design that God created us to be. Now let's think about that. God himself, in the beginning of creation, in Genesis chapter 1, God was a we. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In fact, it said God created and the Holy Spirit moved over the face of the earth. And then we see where God created humankind. It says we created them, male and female. We created them in our own image. God was already a we from the very beginning. And God thought, okay, let's move beyond just the we of the Trinity and let's create humankind. So God created Adam. From the dust of the earth, God forms the shell of Adam, and he breathes life into Adam. And then you have man is born, and man becomes a part of the we of God. There's God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And they're having fellowship with Adam in the garden, and there's this engagement. But it's interesting. As if that wasn't enough, God looks at Adam and says, it's not good that man should be what? Alone, right? It's not good that man should be alone. Now, I find that very interesting theologically. I actually hadn't really thought about it all that much until this week. So I'm thinking about, you know, the Bible is really about a we, not a me. That God would literally be admitting that Adam needed more than just God. Have you ever thought about that? Sometimes we get in our me world, man, if I just have more of Jesus. Well, that's true, but God was in fellowship with Adam, but God looks at Adam and says, it's not good that he should be alone, but they were having fellowship. That literally could say that God knew that in order for me to be me, I needed a we like me. Say that three times fast. In order for me to fully be me, I need a we like me. So God created Eve to be a we with Adam in fellowship with the we of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. See, God knows that if we're going to be the best representation of me, that we need to be in a we in fellowship with him and with each other in Christian community. That's how God designed it. Now, we can certainly sit outside of that, and many have sat outside of that, and haven't become all of what God's desiring to be, and wondering, why isn't God doing a work in me? Maybe we have to think about how much me is out of we. Or where am I missing the we that God has so beautifully designed for me? Think about God's next move in Genesis. He says to Adam and Eve, go into all the world, multiply, and subdue the earth. Now, you've heard me teach in previous teachings that this isn't so much about procreation. It wasn't about populating the earth as much as it was populating the earth in the image of God. We connect that straight to what we see in Revelation. We connect it to what we see also in Matthew 28, where he says, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations. See, God's intent was not to create a population, but to create a we in the image of God, in fellowship with God. And Adam and Eve were the first father and mother of the creation of God to go forth and do that. Because God knew that a we was better than a me. But not just any we, a we in community with God in Christian community. That's how God designed it. Now, after that, there was what we call in the Old Testament a fall. In the fall, it could be described like this. Satan comes to Adam and Eve and literally convincing them to be not a we with God, but a me. That's when we begin to fall. When we think the world should revolve around us and we need to divorce ourselves from God, because that's what Satan was trying to do. You know, Adam, you know, Eve, you don't really need God. You don't need the we of God. You've got everything you need inside yourself. Just trust yourself. How many theologies and counselings and sessions and religions in the world are making it all about you? How many times do we have people that speak in our lives, you know, you got everything, you don't need anybody, you got everything within yourself. Literally, that's a definition of the fall. And if you're in that situation, you're probably finding yourself falling. Because God knows we are not created to be a me, we're created to be part of the we. But God created your best sense of you that becomes more whom God called you to be in your very best because you're involved with the we of God and with one another. Very interesting how that begins to take place throughout. So the fall, you get people beginning to separate. People begin to isolate. People begin to be their own little me in the midst of the world. No need for the we of God, just individually. And it begins to be chaotic and broken, right? And then God says, you know, this is not working out. This is not the creation that I called it to be. And then there's the flood, and there's Noah, and there's this restart. And then it goes again, and then there's another restart. And he comes to a man named Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. You ought to read those first 11 chapters of Genesis. A lot is going on. He comes to Genesis chapter 12, and he comes to Abraham, and he says, Abraham, I want you to be a president of a nation. It isn't what he said, is it? He wasn't calling Abraham to be a better me. He was calling Abraham to be a better we. He said, Abraham, I'm going to make you a father. A father is a family. I'm going to make you a father of a great nation. Look at the stars of the heavens and see how numerous your family, your we, will be. Because we're going to recreate through you, through the covenant, the original covenant in the Garden of Eden, where I said, go forth into all the world and multiply the earth in the image of God. You, Abraham, are going to be the father of that nation. Out of you, me, you're going to create a we that is beautiful. And the covenant was born. And that covenant is written all through. It happened first through the nation of Israel and then begin to be God's people in the New Testament, where Jesus eventually prays in John 17. What's his big prayer in John 17? It's a we prayer. He's praying, Heavenly Father, God, would you help them to be one as you and I are one? Not individual. Like we are together, like you and me and I and you, may they be one as I am in them and they are in you. Hear the language, the original language, all the way back to Genesis. Go forth, multiply. It's not good that man should be alone. There needs to be a we in order for you to have your best me. Wow. So what does that look like in our lives when we live in a culture about individualism? When we live in a culture that's about how good can I get? That's not necessarily a bad thing. Everybody wants to be the best expression of who you can be. But sometimes we forget that God designed it, that the best expression of who you will happen because you are connected with a we. And not just any we, but the we of Christian community, the ideal that God created for every one of us. Sometimes we come into the church and we'll sit on the sideline. Let me just be me. I don't really want to become part of the we. Or we have work relationships, the kind of relationship that we kind of keep shallow because I really don't want someone to be deeply involved in me and might discover something. In fact, we often get offended if someone comes up to us and shares something that they see that is not good within us and calls us out. We get offended in that because we really just want to stay me. We can't become the best me because we won't allow we to be involved in us. How sad. And our culture conditions us to that. So even in the midst of our community groups, one of the struggles that we can have is, I think I'll just hide within. I won't allow the we of God and the power of God to fully transform my life. I'll just stay me, and we do. That's Satan's huge play on your life and mine. Whatever he can do to divorce you from having a deep, intimate relationship with God and with other Christian beings, that is literally, again, the definition of the fall. Now, if we interpret the world through the eyes of me, then I'm also going to interpret Scripture through the eyes of me, and therefore the challenge. Because there's plenty of Scripture that would make you believe that it's just really about you and Jesus. But you have to think again. And what I want to challenge you to, when you go back and begin to study the Scripture, I want you to listen for the true theological context of the we over the me. Because we can take passages naturally. Passages like the vine and the branches. Where Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branch. You can do no good apart from me. We can say, well, it's really about me and Jesus. But sometimes we forget the plural on that. You're the branches. And all of them are connected to one vine. Or we can say, where Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. Okay. I'm going to give my life to Jesus Christ, and me and Jesus are going to have a good thing going on. But we forget the part where Jesus says, let him deny himself, literally lose yourself, your me, take up your cross, and follow me. Or we'll look at passages like Paul speaks about in the Scriptures. We can hold this one where Paul says in Romans 10, he says, if you confess in your with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. Very true. What do we do with that? You see, often we can take that and say, you know, it's enough for me and Jesus to have a good thing going on. But let me remind you that when the Bible speaks of strangers and aliens, that's who we are outside of Christ. And when we confess with our lips and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and we are saved, we're no longer strangers and aliens. We're no longer unknown by God because God now connects us into the family of we. So there's no such thing being in the family of we and still being a me outside of the we. Say that one. I just want you to understand that Jesus called you for more than you can ever become alone or by yourself. It's the body of Christ. You're one body, and we're individually members of it. We can say literally God created us to be a community project. You're going to be better surrounded by Christian community. So here's what I want you to hold on to that I put in your outline. God created you to live beyond yourself. Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 2. It'll be on the screen. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 19. Paul's writing this. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens. In essence, you're no longer unknown by God. You're no longer something that is foreign. You are known and you're a part of the body. You're part of the family. But rather, you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. There's the covenant with Abraham. See, you are no longer a me alone. You are a me within a we. That's how God created you. That's who you are as a believer in Jesus Christ. It is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, listen to this, the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. The whole structure grows together into a holy temple. You might say, well, my body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. But what Paul's saying here is we're not built into a temple being a stone out here by himself. We're built in a temple that is holy to God because we are in the we. Outside of that, there's no such thing as being a holy temple. And he goes on, in him, in Jesus, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for which, for God, by his Spirit. Catch the mammoth understanding of that. You are being built, not individually, but together as the place where God is dwelling. See, Paul, as incredible as he was as an individual, the greatest missionary of all time, you can lift him up and praise him, was a man who always talked about the power of community, because Paul understood it. You see, when Paul was a stranger and alien, when Paul was on the outside as an unbeliever, he was killing Christians. He was tempted by Satan. He was separated from the glory of God. But then in community, God, through the power of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, revealed to him the truth, and then that truth was revealed to him as Ananias, the community of the Christian community, healed him in the scales from his eyes, by which he being able to see, now understood the power of which Paul would become a stronger me because of the we around him. And he helps us understand how critical it is in our lives to be joined. I think it's interesting when you read the book of Acts in the early church. The greatest moves of the people of God, when the power of the Spirit engulfed the room and engulfed the community of God, was when they were gathered together in community. Yes, the Spirit works in your life and mine, but the power of the Spirit moves through community together. It's incredible to see. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit first came upon the church, Jesus had instructed all the me's to be together in one place to be a we. And in that one place, the room began to shake, and the power of the Spirit moved into the room, and everybody's life was transformed. That is the power of worship and the power of coming together in the midst of community. You know, if there's one challenge that has been brought on us in 2020 and early 2021 through the coronavirus, it has thrown us into a lot of isolation and a lot of me. And has kept the power of the Spirit somewhat in check among us because we are divided and we are separated, when it was the power of the Spirit that began to speak in every language and join together the whole church in the power of it. Satan knows that if he can divorce you from God and from one another, they will be chaos. Because that's what he did in the fall. So moving beyond yourself gives you something really good. And I want to show you how good God is when we operate in the we. Some of these I put in your outline. The first one is this, is beyond yourself, you get safety and strength and completeness. The Bible says that Satan moves around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. If you've ever been hiking or camping in the backcountry of America or other countries, you know that it's always better to go in a pack. There might be lions and tigers and bears. In fact, sometimes out west there are. You may have seen some videos of mountain lions, etc., people alone. Well, Peter gives us that image in Scripture to remind us that your me is under attack if you are alone. That Satan is looking for someone to devour. It doesn't say Satan's looking for a group of we to devour. He's saying he's looking for one. Because as a me, we're not safe. We're safe in community. So what does that look like? One is that if we are together in community in our marriage, then our marriage is kept safe. Of the 30 years of marriage counseling that I've done, I have yet to have a couple that I've done marriage counseling with that was in a deep we community with other married couples living it out. They were always a me. I got this. And they hide in an isolation. They continue to burn in the undercurrent. And they don't let anybody else engage or walk in the midst of their life. And Satan has a heyday with it. It's not safe. Are people that go financially bankrupt and they're on lies from overspending or are not planning budgets or engaging because they got nobody else speaking in. They're not in a safe situation. Therefore, their lives, Satan keeps pulling and pulling and pulling, and they get in more and more struggle. You see, at CTK, we want to be about being proactive, being in the midst of the community, heading off the struggles and the battles that Satan will bring upon our me by being a part of the we. The same is true in our thought processes of raising children or teens or making decisions or career decisions. Do we make them in isolation or do we make them within the we of the community of God's people, seeking the power and the Spirit of God to help us and guide us? It keeps us safe. We tend not to make the same mistakes. We tend not to have the same falls or the same brokenness because God created us to be in community to be safe. What Satan wants to do is separate you and then have you for lunch. Safety is a big one, and we need it in our lives. Another is strength. Hebrews, Paul writes in Hebrews chapter 10, he says this, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." How important that is. Now, in that day and time, if you think about the day drawing near, they were probably literally thinking about the second coming of Jesus. That we need to stay in the faith, that we need to stir up faith in one another, that we need to encourage one another not to give up when the times are difficult, because the Lord is going to return. We don't want to be caught without faith and without following Jesus when he comes. In fact, Jesus says, live every moment for Jesus, because you don't know when he's going to come back. So we still need to have that same kind of zeal among us and that same encouragement among us. But we can also think of the day approaching differently. And that day approaching can be that at any moment, at any time, at any day, at any second, Satan will approach you and he will challenge you. And he will seek to find the place that you're out of the me in order to have a targeted impact on your life. So literally, if we read this text in the life of community, it would sound more like, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Let us continue to hold each other and to be together and to encourage one another because of the trouble that's around you constantly through the news and through the activity and through the next conversation that might derail you or detach you from the power and the grace and the gift of God. That might just be the seed planted that begins to come between you and your spouse or you and your children. Are the priorities that God would have for your life, that you begin to drift to the way of the world. That day is approaching, and it is here. But if we stay in an authentic we, if we're surrounded ourselves with the life of community, it makes us strong and safe. I can't tell you how many times, as a pastor over 30 years, I have significantly needed community to survive. I can't be my best me without you. I can't grow and mature as a believer in Jesus Christ and stay safe from all the influences of the world. And yes, they're there for me just like they are for you, about all the things out there you should or shouldn't have or can go after or get, or all the temptations that happen. Without you, I'm the same as vulnerable as anybody else. And without you, I would not be able to remain on the stage teaching you. I rely on the we for me to be my best me. And the moment I forget that, it's the day Satan will take me out. I was speaking over the pastor at our first service this morning. And you probably already know how many church leaders Satan has removed from the church. Because they isolated themselves in the me, fell into all kinds of sin and struggle, and no longer could lead. It happens in this position as it does in your position. We become our best me because we are surrounded by a solid we. It's critical for all of us. It gives us safety and strength. But not only that, it gives us a sense of completeness about us. Look what Paul writes in Romans. And Paul, you know, a very strong, significant leader, would admit within all his teachings how important the we was. And he describes it in Romans 12, verse 4 in this version. It says, "For as in one body we have many members." Remember, one body, it's a we. "And the members do not all have the same function." That's a me. Okay, I'm given particular gifts. "So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another." Circle that in your text. We're individually members one of another. That means we're intimately designed perfectly in a me with unique gifts. It says having gifts that differ according to the grace that God has given us, that God has created each of you very unique, very special, very profound, unlike any other creation in all the world, to be part of a we. And the significant gifts that God has given to you will never mature and become evident in the body of Christ without the we. That's how God designed it. We talk about at CTK the value of empowerment. And the value of empowerment is just that. That unless you help draw out my best gifts and the best me that God has created me, and I help you and you help one another draw out the best me that God has created you in the we, we'll never become the best me. That's what it means. That's God's design. And it's so beautiful. But not only is the blessing of Jesus for your life and mine for safety and strength and completeness, it's also in another aspect of community. And that's what I put down as your second one. We move beyond ourselves in diversity and in beauty and in Christ-likeness. The second part we often forget. Now, what I mean by that, you see, we can create a we can create a community that's still a me. Ever thought about that? That means that everybody around me looks like me, acts like me, thinks like me. Well, what do I have? A me. At the extreme versions of that, we call them cults and extreme groups. If you want to name it in culture. They're in community. They're no longer a me. They're in a we. But it's destructive because they've pushed out the ability to understand Jesus in the context of the we. Because they settled back into a we that looks like a me. That's the Tower of Babel. And what did God do to it? He tore it down. And he recreated it in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit came upon the church and created the new we. I want you to understand this because it's critical in our culture. When God created the church in the book of Acts, it doesn't look like our church today. They understand the we, not just in safety, in strength, and in completeness. They understood the we as this beautiful montage on the table. It would be described in Colossians like this. "You have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator." Isn't that? You put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. See, your old self is gone. You've died to your old self. You've died to your me. And you're becoming a new me in the we. Here, in this new community, there's not a Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all in all. Listen to that beautiful. And this would be blunt. In Jesus' time, in the book of Acts, in the early church, there was no black church or white church or brown church or poor church or rich church or medium income church. Today, when I hear people talking about the church, those are the languages they use. That's the rich church uptown, or that's the denomination that has the wealthy people, or that's the group that has the poor people, or that's just a white church, or that's just a black church, or that's a brown church, or that we name them like that. Was not even the words used in the book of Acts. The church was new. And at the church, there was a table. Not a physical table, but at the table, everybody was there. And the rich people were listening to the poor people, and the poor people listening to the rich people. And those who were impoverished, and they were enslaved to the owners in that day, because 50 to 80% of the Rome were in slavery, or they were indentured servants, it was called in that culture. They were all together in an equal place in the church. Look at 1 Timothy, as I taught on last fall. And because of that, there was a new we, in that we had an understanding. The wider my table and diversity comes in the we in my life, the better me I become. We have lost that in our culture. And it's costing us. I often think about, as Marilyn and I talk about it, how do we increase the we of our table that aren't just like me? And I realize when I'm serving in the community on boards and other places that are wildly diverse, how rich my life becomes because my we looks like Acts. Now, I have more safety. I have more strength. And I have more completeness. And it's beautiful. That's the ideal. We begin to see beyond ourselves, to even be beyond the ways that we think and act. Let's look at Ephesians 2 one more time. Verse 19. You are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Think about that temple like the book of Acts. That's a beautiful place. It's a we like no other. It's a we like go into all the world in Genesis 1:27. I created you in the image of God. Go and multiply that image. That's what we're called to be and to do. Beyond yourself for safety and strength and completeness. Beyond yourself in diversity and beauty and Christ-likeness. Where Paul finally wraps up when he says, do nothing from selfish ambition, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not look to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Having that mind of Jesus in yourself. Isn't that a beautiful expression of the we? It's incredible to see how God works when we move beyond yourself. And you allow the most beautiful expression of me to happen because of we. I encourage you, as we go in this new season of community groups, get connected. I know as I have prayed and fasted with you, and I've read the devotions each morning, and seeing that you have written them, and the way the Spirit moved in your life and reflected in the devotion fed me because we were a we. And there's so much more. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come to you humble with all the me-ism in our world. And all the me-ism that it actually joins together outside of your will. So, Father, I pray that your kingdom come, your will be done. That you will move in our lives, that you will move us past ourselves. That we enter into that deep relationship with you and with others in the Christian community. Not just any community, but in the Christian community, so that we can become more of what you've created us to be as we look forward to heaven and we become a movement of heaven on earth. Thank you for your goodness, for your blessing, and for your faithfulness. Work and move in this church, that we may join together with other churches and other people, and because of the we together, we may transform this community around us, reducing the inequities and injustices and struggles and trials in our community, because we're moving in your strength and we're held into the safety of your word and one another. God, we thank you for that privilege to be light, salt, to be your favored people. Keep us in your grace, forgive us of our sins, and walk with us in the way of truth. Father, is anyone that's listening today that has not literally confessed, put their mouth, and believed in their heart that you are the Lord, today may they do that. May you move them from a slave and an alien, a foreigner, a stranger, to the household of God. And may you place in them the gift of your Holy Spirit. And may you continue to draw out their very best to the community called your body. For all these things, we lift to you in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. We're going to take a few moments and prepare for Holy Communion. If you're in the room today in worship, if you did not receive one of the communion elements, if you'll raise your hand, the usher will get one to you. If you're at home, we invite you to share in the sacrament of Holy Communion with us. So we want to give you a few moments to go to your refrigerator or cabinet and get some bread or cracker, some grape juice or wine. The actual elements are not as critical as the word that Jesus will speak into those elements. So we want to give you a few moments to go get them, gather your family in the room, and we're going to share together in a sacrament of Holy Communion. It's when the Lord Jesus prayed over the community and said, as you gather together and you partake of this meal with one another, I will be with you always to the end of the age. I will forgive your sins. I'll give you a fresh start. So as you're doing that, I ask the worship team to lead us in worship.
It's running after me.
That the goodness of God is running after me. You know, sometimes you and I can run. We can run from God, and we do it in all kinds of ways. But to know that we have a God that is so good and so faithfulness that he doesn't want us to get out of sight, that he'll run after us like a parent running after a child who's just screaming and hollering, I don't want to do it. God is that good. And when we pause, and we take the bread and the cup, and we share in fellowship with the Father, he forgives us for all the badness, connects us back to the we, that we may walk in his favor. So those of you that are watching and gathering online, I trust you have these elements prepared and ready. I want to ask you, if you will, to go ahead and take the bread. Let's raise it up before God. Remember the words of Jesus. In the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us share together. Share it individually and with your family. We now take the cup. We lift it before God in your homes, in the places that you are, and we hear the words. After supper, Jesus took the cup. He gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, this cup is a new relationship in my blood. It is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us share together. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace now and forever. Amen. God loves you. Loves you so much.